It's 10:15 on the dot, and Jack Abrahams, ward councillor for the Democratic Alliance in Ballito, is in the studio, my special guest on a Wednesday morning. Jack, lovely to have you in the studio again.
Thank you for having me, Dave, and thank you to your listeners.
It's always interesting to catch up with what's happening on the local scene, particularly from a ward councillor's perspective, because you get to handle a... Well, there's so many things that people, particularly at the moment, have been talking about from a service delivery perspective, etc. But we'll get into that later. I want to find out more about Jack the Lad. Jack the Lad. Because you're not originally from KZN. Let's take you back to the beginning. Where did Jack first emerge in terms of his spot on the planet? Where did you grow up?
Dave, I'm originally from the mother city, from Cape Town. I was born there back in 1991. I grew up there. I went to school there. Creche, primary school, secondary school, little bit of college, technicon. Yeah, that all happened in the Western Cape.
And what were your influences as a kid? What did you want to be when you grew up? I'm sure you didn't want to be a politician.
Oh, no, definitely. That was the last thing on my mind. I was a football player back in the day, and then I did a little bit of refereeing. So I either wanted to go into soccer or into computers, something to do about computers, yeah.
And why didn't you pursue those goals?
I started off on college, and then I got in at Engine, back in the head office in Cape Town, and then I started working for them, which was in computer networking related. We used to monitor their networks, all the different depots across the country, if they were online, offline, and then back then they used to use the NTU system from Telkom, reported to Telkom, or if it was a network failure, we'd report it to Dimension Data, who was handling our network. And yeah, so I just went with Engine for a couple of years, and then from there I ended up with Metropolitan Health Group.
And the soccer dream, the dream of playing football, what happened there?
No, a couple of injuries along the way, and then unfortunately I had to give it up. I started off at a very young age, 7 years old, coming from a very sporting family. And then eventually the injuries just got in the way, and I had to give that up, Dave.
And where was home in Cape Town?
It's a little area called Belhar. Just the other day I met our provincial chair, sorry to talk about politics, Dr. Ivan Meyer. So it was a little place called Belhar, and it's actually just next to the Cape Town International Airport.
Okay, so that's been in the news lately because of a certain level of risk driving down that highway from the airport, and that the city of Cape Town is considering putting up a big security barrier to take care of that. Was that suburb you grew up in quite dangerous?
Yes, Dave. There are some dangerous areas around the airport area, especially if you're going on the N2 into the CBD.
Yeah.
We were more on the eastern side of the airport, but there are some dangerous areas. What we all know, they call the Cape Flats.
You were never tempted to go into gangsterism, because that's a very popular pastime in that part of the world, as far as I can judge.
Dave, I was fortunate enough not to go that route. Yeah.
Did you know people that went that route?
Yes, I do, and even unfortunately, sadly, some of my friends, yeah, they are still stuck in that route, and either on drugs or in prison or...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your roots, your heritage, clearly you have roots that are very deep in the Cape culture. What is your ancestry?
Okay, so my grandfather, his side of the family, they were what they call the Cape Malays. Hence my other name on my ID. They are Cape Malay. And then my grandmother, she was coloured. So, yes, yeah, so...
You've got Malay influence and coloured influence, which, by the way, is fabulous from a cooking point of view. And I can see that you're a man who enjoys his food.
Yes,
so what was your favourite growing up, your favourite traditional dishes?
Well, the one is coming up now. It's Easter. It's always pickle fish. I miss Cape Town this time of the year. because they're going to be enjoying the pickle fish with the snook and the hake and the yellowfin. Curries, yes, those kind of things.
And the Malay curries, the Cape curries, are different to Natal curries.
100%.
What is the difference? Why do they differ?
We don't use as much curry leaves and those green celery, cilantro and those kind of things. Yeah, we just use the spices. And
it tends to be sweeter and more mild. You don't really find that real hot Durban-type flavor.
100%, yeah. So we don't really use like something like Kashmiri, but we will use a different type of curry powder. Yeah.
Yeah. And Babuati is still to die for in the Cape. It's different. You go to, you know, anywhere that serves it these days, it's quite rare. And no dish comes close to the home cooking of the community that you must have grown up enjoying. Do you cook?
Yes, Dave, I do. I do cook. I still enjoy my curries, my poikis, my braais. I do cook, Dave.
Okay, well, we'll get into that in a short while because I know you hold the title of the Man versus Food Championship, apart from anything else you hold the distinction of possessing. But we'll get into that after a little bit of this. It's Taylor Swift, The Fate of Ophelia. The sound of Taylor Swift, The Fate of Ophelia. Are you a Swiftie? Do you like Taylor Swift?
Oh yes, Dave, I do love Taylor Swift. Yeah.
Do you enjoy music? Because we've come kind of from the beginning of this Jack story, growing up in Cape Town, soccer, obviously computing later, but with a love of the culture. He has a Malay heritage. He has a coloured heritage. He enjoys the food, don't we all? And do I wish sometimes that I could boast that sort of heritage? There's also quite a strong musical heritage in the community. Did that influence you at all?
Yes, Dave. So my mom's side of the family was the sporty type, and then my dad's side of the family, they were all singers. My mom, my dad's my stepmom, yeah, they were all singers in the church. My sister, they all sing in the church. My brother plays the guitar. Yes, so we do have also a strong family side. And when we would have family gatherings, we'd all play. We do karaoke. My uncle had the whole setup. He was also a DJ. So yes, music is also part of our heritage and our culture.
So you can sing?
No, I can't sing, Dave. But the rest of my family can. And yes, I do enjoy music. Now we come from this music of the Sister Sledge, of Marvin Gaye, Whitney Houston, all those kind of music.
A lot of R&B there.
Yes, yeah.
We'll get into some of that for you in a short while. But before we go there, I'll just carry on the journey of Jack. So here you were working in a rather technologically heavy environment. It must have been, dare I say, somewhat boring. I mean, it sounds a bit dull.
Yes. So it was called the Monsantine engine. We used to look at two massive screens all day and wait for the up-down, if networks would go down. We'd report it either, like I said, back in the day to Telkom or to Dimension Data to do our IT infrastructure. So yes, it was rather dull here. Yeah.
So you clearly weren't happy there.
No, definitely not, yeah.
What were your options?
Well, I'd studied, and I'm not really the hands-on type of person, so I had to kind of stay in that field. And then eventually I went to Metropolitan Health Group, and I worked in medical aid department. I went to go and work in here.
Were you a salesman?
No, I used to deal with queries, so people would phone in and say, hey, I'm on Bankmed, for example. Can you please tell me, can I go and get a pair of prescription glasses? Can I go to the dentist? Okay. What is my benefits? Things like that, yeah.
So you must have been trained, I would imagine, or just naturally have empathy to deal with the public. It's not easy dealing with the public.
No, Dave, it's not, yeah.
Were you trained to do it?
Yes, Dave, we were. I am, yeah. And it's a calling, you know. People always say being a counselor is not a job description, it's a calling, and yeah.
I was going to say, clearly your path to local politics was somewhat, you know, there was a start out in a different direction, and then through your customer care and dealing with the public, I'm now assuming that this was something that you either enjoyed or believed that you could take further. What brought you out of that environment and getting closer to where we are today?
So I've always been a big fan of the Democratic Alliance, even when I was back in Cape Town. And I've always been an activist with the Democratic Alliance, even with the predecessors, Colin Marsh, Tammy. And then when the 2021 local elections came, I got a call from the DA and they said, Jack, we don't see your application here. Please apply. And I applied.
Let's go backwards a little bit, because you arrived in Ballito. You definitely weren't here as a political cheerleader. I mean, I remember you. In fact, I admired you because you seemed to arrive on a wing and a prayer. I mean, literally, I think it was pretty hard for you because you arrived in Ballito with absolutely nothing. Nothing. And to have worked yourself into a very respectable position now, you're doing the job well, but you must have gone through incredible hardship. Firstly, why did you come to Ballito?
Okay, Dave, so here's the story. So my parents had me when they were fairly young, like 17, 18, and I lived with my grandparents. And I think that's why I have the values that I have, not going into gangsterism and things like that. I lived with my grandparents. My grandfather raised me. And basically, once they died, you know, the story, oh, big fight about the house, who's going to get the house. Dave, I just took my things and I just left. And like you said, on a wing and a prayer and the Holy Spirit, I think he brought me here to Ballito to fit in with the people that is more my tribe.
I'm very glad that did lead you this way. But why did you choose? I mean, you could have gone anywhere. Literally, yes. You could have gone anywhere. Why did you choose Ballito?
Okay, so I came north, and then I was sitting in Umhlanga, and I saw this poster I didn't know the town Ballito by that time, to be honest. Back in 2010, I was sitting in Umhlanga, and I saw this poster with I think it was Mr. Price Pro back at the time. The surfing competition, and I'm like, if this town can host a surfing competition, let me go check it out. And 16 years later, here I am, Dave.
So you arrived, and you literally had nothing. You had no contacts. You had no job. You had no money, as far as I could understand. And how did you go about establishing yourself?
So when I first got here, Dave, I used to car guard in the last car park, Fochleru. I used to car guard there. And people could see I was trustworthy. I started getting involved.
And that's very true, because I remember people saying, this guy, he picks up the litter, he looks after things, he's different, there's something, you know, who is this guy? I mean, it was very interesting, because it must have been flipping hard for you.
Yes, it was, Dave.
Where were you living when you were doing car guarding?
I was staying, it was a little, so in Emberton, there's that block of flats, I forgot what it's called, so they would have open areas. So you could walk in. There was no fencing, so I would just sleep there. The owners even knew I was there. Anna Marie.
So you were literally homeless in the beginning?
Yes, Dave, 100%.
Wow. Where did you get your first break?
So I was car guarding, and then I went to go and work. Remember there used to be that little cafe, Easy Treats?
Yes.
Next to Spa.
Yes. Was that your first job in Ballito?
Yes, and then I went to work for them, and then I think from there I went to work for a little water shop, but that didn't work out because they weren't making it here. And then from there I basically went to Spa, from Spa to Shakers. Shakers, I tried Sotheby's Home Rentals. That didn't work out, went back to Shakers. And then COVID happened, and then unfortunately Shakers closed down. Then I went to work for Yummy. And then basically from there, that went into 2021, where I then became a
counselor. By then you'd already, because I remember you working at Spa.
Yes.
And making lots of friends along the way.
Yes.
And you were at one stage, I can remember you riding a scooter.
100%.
And you were doing some deliveries, I think.
Oh, yes. So while I was working at Spa and Shakers, in my spare time, I used to do deliveries for Mr. D.
So you know from the ground up various aspects of life in the hardest environment possible, and you've worked your way into a position of authority and responsibility, and we're going to get into that very shortly. But I thought maybe we'll take another musical interlude, and this one from Cape Town. It's Grassy Spark, Living in a Paradise, featuring Jeremy Loops. You're on the Dave Charles Show. Son of Grassy Spark, featuring Jeremy Loops, Living in a Paradise, which is kind of where you found yourself, Jack.
100%.
From just an idea on a poster, you arrived in Bolito, and Bolito kind of opened its arms to you. You arrived, you had nowhere to go, nowhere to live, no job, no money, and you started literally as a car guard, living rough, as they say, but determined to make things right for you, and no doubt a desire to, because you've got a heart for community and people, and you wanted to do, to contribute, and that's, you've always had a political bent.
Yes.
So along came COVID, things were not exactly happy, and we had a terrifying scenario on our hands, but there was also opportunity, because you got a call from someone political with an idea that you should be on the elective list for the next ward council round, as I understand it. Tell us how that works.
So the DA has a process where you have to apply to become a councillor. So you apply, you go through an interview, you face a provincial selection panel, you have to write an exam, you have to prove yourself with activities. And so when they went through the list of applications for Kwadukuza, they're like, we don't see Jack's name here. Let's give him a call.
So you were invited to join the list?
Yes, because I was an activist under Tammy at the time. And they said, okay, Jack, we feel that you need to apply as well.
Because I think we had this conversation once in SPA, as I remember saying, why don't you, you know, step up and lead the charge? And you said, no, you didn't think that politics was for you. I remember that.
Yes, Dave. In fact, I didn't even think that I would be considered to be a counselor. And like you said, some people felt the same way like you. And they said, no, Dave, Jack, you need to step up. Yeah.
And so you did. You put your name in the hat, and there it was. It was drawn, and you were elected ward councillor. For which ward was your election?
It was Ward 30. It was actually at the time, it's a new ward. In 2016, Kwadukuza only had 29 wards. And then due to the growing population, they felt that there needed to be a 30th ward. And that's the ward that I inherited.
So the ward, literally, if you know Bolito and you're heading towards the sea down Bolito Drive, everything to the right of Bolito Drive is pretty much your ward, right?
Correct, Dave.
So the Townsend Park precinct, all of that new development going,
Zimbali yeah. Lakes,
and then you've also got some rather interesting informal settlements that fall into your care and domain.
No, Dave. Shaka's Head, it's Ward 4. It's on its own, but it borders my. Yeah.
So because I know you've been involved in trying to negotiate a peaceful outcome, a happy outcome, because there's been a lot of unhappiness there. So, but you're involved. It's not your ward, but you have say in what happens.
Yes.
Because I think people trust you. What have been some of the challenges that you faced as a ward councillor, as a new ward councillor?
The challenges is always dealing with officials from our municipality. Some of them don't feel that they need to respond to us as DA councillors. Some of them ignore our emails and stuff like that, Dave. But eventually we get around to it. That's why Privy is always making statements, so keep them on their toes. But yeah, that was one of the challenges.
Privy Makan being the caucus leader.
Yes.
And the current DA candidate for mayor.
Yes.
in Kwadukuza.
Correct.
I'll be chatting with her on Friday morning. It'll be an interesting conversation. So there's an election coming up. There's a municipal election coming up. Is it this year? There was a 2026 was a date. A year that was proposed, but someone has said it might push into the early part of 27. I don't know. What is your take?
So the term ends between the 1st of November or the 2nd of November till the 27th of Jan. In that period, we do need to have an election, and it's very likely that it's going to be in the first week in November. So the Monday, Tuesday, the special votes, and then the Wednesday, but it's not yet confirmed. The IEC still need to make a ruling on that. The first registration weekend, for the IEC will be in the 20th and 21st of June, and before the 27th of Jan, we need to have an election.
And I see that you're reaching as a political party. You're doing quite a lot at the moment to raise awareness of issues. I saw you guys on the street corner near the Lifestyle Centre the other day with placards. What was that all about?
Okay, Dave. So our party had a national water campaign last week. Even though we are not affected, Belito residents, luckily we have Caesar Water. There is an issue in Itakwini, and we do have issues in Johannesburg. So the DFL that we need to do a national water campaign. They just focus on their day on being visible on all the water issues that we have. So we were standing there with our placards.
It was the blue wave.
Yes, 100%. That's what we call the blue wave. Yeah,
waving at the cars.
Yes, and asking people to hoot at us. Yeah.
Because there's a lot of support for the DA in Belito itself, not necessarily the entire Guadaguza, which is a pity, because I think your policies are very, shall we say, economically centered. And, you know, we all need the same thing. We need growth. We need prosperity. We need clean, green, and secure future. Healthcare, education, there's so much we need. It must be frustrating for you as a politician to see how much potential there is and yet constantly being thwarted by corruption. Do you come across in your environment, in the council, are there, because I know at the moment there's been legal action to remove the municipal manager there's some serious stuff going down. How dangerous is that environment at the moment for you?
It's fairly volatile at the moment. So the He is currently under precautionary suspension. That has happened to him and two other senior officials. We don't know how things are going to play out as yet. Yeah, okay. In the run up to the elections. So as the DA, we, like you said, Dave, here we have the support. We started our campaign fairly early, putting Purvi down as a mayoral candidate. Soon we're going to announce which candidates will be getting which wards for the election. And then, yes, we do need to go do some visibility and work in the other wards.
And what does the future hold for Jack Abrams?
So, like I said, I've...
Because John Steenhuisen's position is available now.
Not yet. I've reapplied for this elections again. But like I said, the DA will let us know if I've been successful again, if I should retain my ward or...
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. And then just before we wrap up, I want to turn on a sort of lighter note. You are the current reigning champion, I think, in terms of the man versus food challenge in Belize.
Actually, I won 2 years ago. Yes. So Remax asked me to be their champion. They said, Brett, let's throw money at your event. And then they didn't have someone that could eat all that food that was presented on the day. It was actually two chickens, Dave. And then they called me and I said, okay, I will be your...
And did you manage to demolish two chickens?
just about, Dave. Yeah. Just about. With a kg of chips and I don't know what other sides that we had to finish off. And
well, that's a title to be put up on the wall for all to admire.
Yeah.
Jack Abrams, the man versus food champion who manages to demolish more chicken in one sitting than I think most people. he's a man with a big heart and certainly has done a lot for the community in which you operate. And you continue to under difficult circumstances. So I say, you know, salute and thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank
you. You are an inspiration. You literally a man who has... Whenever there's a term self-made, I kind of think, self-made. But you are genuinely self-made in terms of your current role in our town. And congratulations to you.
Thank you, Dave.
You deserve accolades for that and recognition. And thanks for joining me on the Dave Charles
Show. Not a problem, Dave.
I hope we'll continue the conversation going 100%.
Forward. 100%. I will do. Thank you. Thank you, listeners. All the Dave Charles Show, the world will smile.
And here we go with one of Jack's favorites. Hey, what's up, man? It's Marvin Gaye. What's going on?